We have 12 seconds left.
You've had 3 days now to watch Sam Bradford, to go back and see tape of how he's doing. Where do you think he is in terms of sharpness, in terms of the speed of things?
I think he's just getting back into the speed of things. You know, the one thing he hadn't done, he did a little 7-on-7, but there's no pass rush in the off-season program. So during OTAs and in minicamp, he did a little bit of 7-on-7. But obviously, you have time as a quarterback in 7-on to kind of set your feet and work yourself through progressions in terms of where you're going with the football. So it was just good to see him back out in 11-on with a rush around him, having to adjust and move up in the pocket. Actually took off and ran, I think, yesterday in the, or 2 days ago in the link, you know, on a one where everybody was covered, made a good decision there. So it's just a process of him getting a lot more, just getting more familiar with the speed and tempo of things.
How is he from a lower body mechanic standpoint, trusting in the knee and planting? And
he's been fine in terms of the way he's delivering the football and stepping and throwing. He's been fine from that standpoint. They had a plan for him from a rehabilitation standpoint, which he was all on board with. So it was everything, you know, he's the one that obviously because of the CBA that he determines what he's going to do for those 6 weeks. But I think he felt really comfortable with our training staff and how the rehabilitation had gone since he got here in April. So he just continued that.
That play when he tucked it away, how is he in those situations?
It was the first time we saw it. So
on film when you...
He's a pretty athletic guy. I mean, I think I don't think people forget about that in terms of Sam was very athletic coming out of college. He was a real good AAU basketball player coming out of Oklahoma. Actually played on the same team with Blake Griffin. He's a scratch golfer. He's a hell of an athlete. So, you know, I don't think that's a question in terms of him from an athletic standpoint. It's just a matter of him just getting back up to speed and getting used to how we're doing everything.
Where is he mentally, Chip, in terms of his confidence in the left knee?
I think he's really sharp with it. You know, I think he feels confident, especially because of the work he put in over the last 6 weeks from when we broke on June 18th to now. He felt great in terms of what he did over the summer, and I don't see him. We don't see him when you're watching film or doing anything that he's favoring that leg at all.
What do you look for when you watch him out here and on the film, specifically with him? What are you looking to see?
Just how comfortable he is in terms of what we're doing offensively and how he fits into it. And I think each day he's progressed and gotten better, so it's right on track for where we thought he would be after 3 days.
What kind of asset can Tim Tebow be on the roster? Is he someone that you can use in a creative ways on the game days?
Yeah, Tim obviously has a lot of skills that other quarterbacks don't have because of his ability to run the football. So, but we haven't delved into any of that. Right now we're just competing, getting reps. You know, guys are with the ones, guys are with the twos, guys are with the threes. I saw Salmon with the threes. I've seen Markin with the threes. I've seen Tim with the twos and the ones. So we're just rolling, guys. But we haven't spent any time as an offensive staff, you know, looking at, hey, how do we do this or what can we do in terms of working out how the final roster is going to express itself.
While we're on quarterbacks, what have you seen from Matt so far?
Matt Barkley? Yeah. I thought he had a really good, really, really good April to June for us. You know, I thought there was a big improvement in terms of where he was. It was interesting when we got into beginning of the offseason program, he was the quarterback with the most experience in our offense. You know, was here longer than Mark, obviously longer than both Tim and Sam. So I think he's progressed. At times it's difficult for all those guys because they're not really getting into a rhythm because we're just getting reps right now. But I think Matt's really made a lot of really good strides, and we're excited to see what he is. And the big performance for Matt and all those other guys when we finally get a chance to go against the Colts in that first preseason game and then the Ravens and then the Packers and then the Jets, because for any quarterback, you're still wearing a red jersey, and they're still, even when the rush comes clean, they're going to pull up and kind of get away from you. But it's not going to be like that when we get into those preseason games. So that'll be the test for all those guys. He's tough, hard, physical runner, you know, and that's what we've really, when we had it rolling at Oregon, we had guys like Jonathan Stewart who's playing for Carolina, like Garrett Blunt. You know, we're looking for downhill guys that can really penetrate a defense. And you know, and Ryan fit that mold. And the difference, I think, between Ryan and a lot of backs, and the reason he was a first-round draft pick, is that a lot of guys that are that size don't have that home run speed. You know, he ran 4.37 at the combine. You know, you saw him just – you guys had a first opportunity, I think, to see him 2 days ago returning kickoffs. You know, I think that's a big explosive body at 230 pounds that can run that fast. It's kind of a unique combination to have. There aren't many guys that are that big that are that fast. So, you know, when we had the opportunity to get him, he was always in our plans in free agency running back. He was one of the guys we had targeted very early.
Jimmy, the other day, Bill Davis was saying you guys get like 2 to 3 times more reps in practice than other teams. How do you think that helps, like, young guys like, you know, Eric Rowe, Ja'Cory, Nelson Aguilar, depth?
I think that's who it does help. And I think one of the misconceptions is our ones get the same amount of reps as every other team's ones across the league. It's just the way we format our training sessions, our twos and threes get to get more reps than everybody else. You know, in a lot of places, the ones get, you know, 12 reps, the twos get 6 reps, and the threes may get 2. For us, it's even across the board, you know, so we're just rotating in sets of 4. So right now in a team period, the ones will get 12 reps, the twos will get 12 reps, and the threes will get 12 reps. We've always felt that it's accelerated the younger guys in terms of not only they get experience, you know, they're sitting in the classroom, they're learning, they're going through everything from a drill standpoint, but a lot of those guys just don't get a chance to show it to you in the training session because you only get 1 or 2 reps. All of those guys are getting a ton of reps, and it pays off in the end, especially for when you're trying to develop young players.
What would you like in a situation like this where, like, let's say a guy like Ja'Cory might, you know, end up, like, taking over for Boykin? I mean, how does that help?
It helps because, you know, our educational philosophy is I hear and I forget, I see and I remember, I do and I understand. So you can talk about it and show it to them on tape as much as, you know, that's all good and great, but they got to do it. And then our decisions in terms of our evaluations of them as players has to be based on demonstrated evidence. It just can't be like, I think he's a good player. You know, he's only been in there for a couple snaps, but I think he's going to be able to do it. You know, we're trying to put him in as many situations as we can where it can reveal itself, so. Same exact thing. I don't do anything with it. I didn't take over player personnel. The only difference is I have final say in terms of are we going to take you, John, or are we going to take Zach? I mean, I make the final decision on that, but my day-to-day hasn't changed. Ed runs the personnel department. He's done a fantastic job with that, but I don't. My day hasn't changed, nor will it change.
What have you seen from Nelson since the first day of camp? I know it's just 3 practices.
3 practices? Yeah. No, I think he's getting better every day. I think he can catch the ball away from his body. It always seems like even though he's 6 foot, maybe 6'1.5", he plays bigger and taller and longer. Made a great catch on the sideline because he can extend. He can put his body in a lot of different situations. He's got an extra gear that a lot of guys don't have. I think when he beats press coverage and takes off, you know, you got to make sure you understand how fast he is. And I think sometimes we've underthrown him a couple times just because we know how well he can accelerate. Does a great job of catching the ball and getting north and south and getting upfield. And he's also impressed us as a returner in the first 3 days, just as a punt returner and kick returner. So been really pleased with him in the last 3 days.
What have you seen out of Jordan Hicks when you go back and watch the tape of these practices? How do you see him fitting into the rotation?
Same thing when we drafted him, a very, very athletic linebacker that has the potential to be a 3-down linebacker in the Michael Kendricks, Kiko Alonso mold. You know, he can cover. He's got a lot of skills from that standpoint. He's really stood out in the last couple of days on special teams. So a real athletic 3-down linebacker is what we've seen the last couple of days. I don't know. He was a guy we had targeted high. We didn't have a 7th-round pick, so we were kind of we did have a 7th-round pick, but we took a defensive lineman at that situation. But he was a guy we were very, very high on, spent a lot of time with in the offseason. It seems to happen every year. Malcolm Butler was a guy last year for the Patriots that no one drafted and ended up, you know, making the key play in the Super Bowl. But it happens all the time. Why? I don't know. Maybe he was at a little bit smaller school. But, you know, he was a guy we were very excited about when we got the evaluation process. He just keeps showing up. You know, you look at the play, Timmy kept it and ran and has a big gain of about 10 yards, and then Denzel comes up and has a cause fumble, picked up, scooped up, and fumble recovery at the same time. He seems to have a unique knack to always being around the ball. So. No, it's not a parallel. I mean, we wanted to keep Jeremy. We just got outbid, you know, from a pricing standpoint. But we always wanted to keep Jeremy, and that wasn't a plan of ours that, you know, we're just going to let Jeremy walk and then we'll replace him with this. It was just – and, again, the draft, you can't predict how the draft is going to go and where you're going to go. To say, hey, when free agency starts, because it's so much before the draft, to say, hey, it's okay, we'll let him walk because we know we're going to get Nelson. You know, you have no idea where they're going to go or when they're going to go. But, obviously, I think he bolstered – our receiver corps, you know, when we've added to Huff and Coop and adding Miles in the offseason, adding 2 in the offseason, and then already having Jordan here. But we felt like he was just too good a player at that position for us to pass up.
Now that he's here, is there a parallel between what Jeremy did and what he can do?
No, and I think everybody's reaching with the whole parallels between guys. I mean, he's still a rookie, and he's going to play inside, going to play outside, going to return kicks. We're just going to find, you know, where he fits best. But we're not – we didn't target Nelson when we drafted him to say he's our replacement for Jeremy.
Sproles in the slot, what do you like about that?
What's that?
Sproles in the slot, what do you like about that?
Just another versatile player. And as we, you know, we said in the offseason, it's year two for him. So I think he feels real comfortable in terms of what our running backs are doing. So we're just kind of cross-training him like we do some other guys in terms of how do we get our best players on the field and put them in different situations. So.
All four of your rookie corners have had more than 20 pass breakups over the last 2 years. Obviously, you want players that can get their hands on the ball, but do you guys have an added focus on bringing those kind of guys in?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great stat, and obviously you want a deep – well, and it's also a misleading stat because there are some of the best defensive backs that don't have pass breakups because no one throws the ball at them. You know, so you'll say, well, statistically, he's not a very good corner. He's a really good corner because when the offense looks out there, they go, well, I'm not even going to throw it over there. So he doesn't get a pass breakup. He doesn't get an interception. He doesn't do anything. He can have in a quote-unquote statistical, very quiet year. But coaching-wise, everybody knows what a great, talented corner he is. But obviously, that's what you're looking for. And I think in the last 3 days, we feel as a staff, we're a lot closer in coverage than we've been. I think our guys are closer in routes. I think it's more challenging for our receivers, more challenging for our quarterbacks in terms of 7-on-7, 1-on-1s and things like that because we've added depth, and I think we got some players right now, but we'll continue to work on that. Thanks, guys.